Welcome to the Heart of Healing, the Pandemic Episodes. I am your host, Tom Fulb. In these episodes, we will meet loving, talented people who, while coping with their own pandemic stress, are offering others understanding, compassion, love, and ways to relax and heal, even under the weight of the current conditions. Listen with an open heart to those who in this time of crisis are offering their hearts and talents to all of us. And our guest today is Selina Matreya. Welcome, Selina.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you here. Now, Selina, you call yourself a transformational agent. You are an internationally celebrated lecturer, author, teacher, and a teacher of practical spirituality.
Correct.
That's all wonderful. How long have you been doing this work?
Oh, my goodness. Probably about 17 years.
Well, that's a good long time. And for those who don't know, could you tell us a little bit about what practical spirituality actually is?
Sure. Practical spirituality, the two words, refer to the use of our everyday life as the platform for our conscious transformation, where other practices and teachings might require us to go to prayer, to go to meditation, to use yoga, to use other external sources for our ability to come to neutrality and peace. Practical spirituality focuses on us creating transformations within our own life by utilizing observation and shifting in our daily life around circumstances, noticing where our emotional body is triggered and using that, for instance, as an opportunity to notice that we're not in peace, and then utilizing practices to transform back into peace. So it's the art and the lifestyle of using our everyday circumstances as opportunities to become conscious of that, of the fact that we're not in peace, and then to utilize practices then and there that bring us back into peace. So we don't have to wait for the yoga mat or for meditation or for the weekly visit to church or temple to experience peace. We get to give that to ourselves on a daily basis.
What a wonderful gift to give to ourselves.
This is
something you teach. You teach this via classes or individually, or how does that done?
Yeah, I work with individuals a lot. I work with businesses, small businesses a lot. People who are looking to, you know, really understand, because this is very new and it's pretty revolutionary that we get to use difficulty in life, that it's always the difficulty in life that we're using, that we're transforming and learning how to transform so we can move through back to peace. So I also, I work with groups. I hold chakra cleanse meditations online. I'm planning and I'm about to launch an international telesummit with 12 teachers, clarion call online. But this is work that Spirit channeled through me for the first time about 17 years ago, and they delivered this work and they named it practical spirituality. So I can't claim the name even. Yeah.
You can't even get residuals.
No, but what I get is so much better. You know, having a direct connect to Spirit is the gift, right?
Yes, the residual connection is much more important. And when you say that this came to you 17 years ago, it wasn't just like in a letter. Something happened. Is it that right?
Well, several things have happened during that time, but yes, I've worked with the same teacher for about 23 years now, and it was early days for us, and I was sitting in those days, she would see you in the corner of her kitchen. She had two folding chairs and a little accordion curtain that cut off her teaching spot from the rest of her kitchen. And now she has a brilliant, beautiful temple because she's just such an incredible teacher. She's drawn so many people. She's had to move out of her home years ago. But at any rate, at that point, Spirit channeled through me while I was sitting with her for the very first time and told me I was to be a teacher and that my work was to help people make their life their practice. And from that moment on, I've worked to cultivate not only my connection with Source, but also to make sure that I move through the world in honesty and integrity so that I can be a vessel that is open to receive the messages.
So that's a very different concept than most of us were brought up with.
Yes.
I mean, make your life be your practice, make your life be your spirituality.
Yes.
That's, have you found that easily acceptable to people that you talk to or how?
Yeah, I find the people that are attracted to this work know on a visceral, energetic level that this is exactly not only possible, but what we're meant to do.
Right.
What it refers to is the fact that we are energy. When we come into bodies, we are energy. And this energy comes into a body, high frequency energy comes into a body. And that when we're born into society, we're born into cultures, we're born into an environment. And that environment then begins to shape the personality. It begins to shape our history. But at that, what happens at the time of birth is that we are just energy brought into form. And the form that we're in, obviously, are these bodies that are very dense and energy is very fine. So when we come in as love, the high energy of love, we then come into bodies. And as I said, we come into society and our personalities develop, our thinking mind develops, all of the other aspects of our multidimensionality begin to develop in a world that is not necessarily and most definitely not attuned to the energy of love. Physical world is, you know, we're fighting to be of loving kindness. We're fighting to remember that that's who we are. So I think most people, when they come, they have this energetic remembrance within them of who they are. And so when they hear the words, and words carry frequency, Tom, as you well know, it resonates with the people that are ready to come into, you know, awareness and to
right.
wake up.
Those who are ready will
those
be there.
Right.
What I need to share with you is something that relates to this. We have a daughter who's now 22. When she was beginning to talk and walk, she said one day, "I want to go home, but the door is closing."
Ooh.
And we just watched as she evolved beautifully, and that she's a wonderful person. But I relate to what you said because that she knew where she came from.
Wow, that is remarkable.
It was remarkable to us because we were just learning about that at that time, which is 22 years ago. We were just getting classes in this information.
Yes.
And it was totally foreign as far as I knew up until that moment. But hearing her was a great gift to me in continuing my education.
Well, you know, Tom, it's not surprising because spirit really, you know, the need, the interest, the desire to connect to the highest frequency of who we are, to the love, which is who I believe we all really truly are.
Right.
It never goes away and it is always accessible to us. And spirit moves in, you know, they say in church and in other places in mysterious ways. I don't think they're mysterious at all. I think they're quite purposeful. I think they're quite magical. And that, it sounds like what a wonderful gift that was for you and Noelle to have a daughter that said that. And especially at that time, as you were just exploring once again, you know, your own origins.
Yes.
And it really gives us another way of understanding this expression that, you know, our children teach us everything we need to know.
Oh, absolutely. I learned everything I needed to know from my children, definitely, definitely. But this is also, you know, so many people either shut that off or are told by the world not to, that's not real, don't pay attention to it, etc. So the challenge I would imagine for your work and for the people who want it is to open to this,
yes.
is to allow it to be open and to allow yes. this to come through.
Yeah, and it's not a challenge because what happens is that once again, as you and I were saying, you know, we all have opportunities in our life where there are specific openings to who we are. Like I like to say, Tom, we're multidimensional beings. This life stream that sits in front of you, Selena, is a body, a physical body with a physical brain. Those are two aspects of my multidimensionality. But I also have a personality that developed in this life. I've had a history in this life. I have an emotional body. I have a thinking mind. And then I have the fear energy, which is the low frequency, and I have the energy of love, which is my true self, my soul level, my intuitive body. So all of those aspects of me are aspects of you and aspects of other people. And when a being is ready to accept and remember, as your daughter did at the age of 2, who they truly are, and they're ready to choose to acknowledge it, to acknowledge the high frequency of love, to access it, and then to actualize it as their GPS system, their guidance system. Right. We're brought up in this conditioning to have our brain be our guidance system. We're brought up to have our emotions be our guidance system. But spirit has told me it's our intuitive body, our highest frequency of love, that is the guidance system. And the emotions were meant to be an alert that something is off, so we could bring in the high frequency. Our thinking mind was meant as a tool to, amongst many other things, to remember that, you know, to notice if we have dark thoughts or worries, that we need to bring in and reconnect with that GPS of the energy of love. So our conditioning is such, but when people are actually ready, it's not at all difficult, because there's a knowing within them that they want to reconnect, they want to acknowledge, they want to actualize love.
Absolutely, which is why we search, those of us who do search, because something's saying, there's more, you need to find it, go here. And it's always choosing. My experience is, I'm asking about what you believe here, is that we have a choice to choose between the low frequency, fear, and the highest love.
Yes.
And, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I was gonna say, and there's been no more clear time than now with the pandemic that says, here, all the fear in the world you want, we're going to provide. And can you choose differently?
Beautifully said. And I really, the pandemic, the universal pandemic, while it affects everybody individually, we also, I believe, as a collective, have the opportunity to invoke the choice that you're speaking of, which we invoke every moment of every day, regardless of whether we know it or not, we're choosing, because even in not choosing, we're making a choice.
Right.
So in these days of pandemic, we are being given an opportunity to not only look at how we're going to address all of the differences in our physical life that this situation has created, but I believe that on a higher octave, which I'm always looking for the higher octave purpose, the higher octave being the purpose that speaks to our spiritual nature and of love, the purpose is to really observe, to really make choices. We're all, you know, we are not stopped as a planet, as we all have been together, all together, unprecedented, stopped in a heartbeat, together, without there being a higher octave. And it's my belief, my very deep-seated belief, that we're being asked to review how we live our lives, both individually and globally. And this is a wonderful time to take those observations and not just focus our attention, because what we focus our attention on grows. And where we bring our attention has everything to do with the next moment that we live our life. So when we're focused just on taking care of the things that need to be done because our lives have changed, we're losing a whole part of the gift of the pandemic. And there are many gifts to this pandemic. And when we focus just on the difficulties, we miss the gifts. When we don't focus on the gifts of the universal and the bigger questions of how am I spending my time these days? And before the pandemic, what did my life look like? What What should I be observing? What has changed now? How am I different now in doing less, in having quieter times? If I'm not doing less and I'm even more stressed, what do I need to change? What is being asked of me to right now? And so I think those are the big questions that, you know, if people aren't asking themselves, they're missing a whole piece of the pandemic gift.
Well, I would agree 100% with you, because I had to ask myself that question. And this is the result, doing a podcast to talk to you and other people
who are helping. Beautiful answer. Thank you for that. Yes, thank you for your work.
And it feels wonderful and better than it before I started doing this again. And I did 6 years of the other podcast. But before I started doing it, I felt a bit lost as to where am I? What am I doing in this pandemic? And when it came to me, clearly I need to do this, and here's how, I feel so much better. Every day.
You see, what's so brilliant about that is that's not, you know, it may have started with an emotion. I feel this way. I feel a little lost. Right. Then you utilize that other part of your manifestation of your brain, thinking about it. And then what happens is you get an answer delivered to you. And right. And that is a really brilliant process. You know, I was reading, doing a tremendous amount of reading, and I was reading about a neurologist who was, or neurophysicist, was talking about how the brain works. And they were talking about the fact that the brain does not create anew. The function of the brain is to recognize that which it knows and then to create structure around it. So our thoughts are a product of the brain recognizing what it knows, which is a frequency, because we are energetic beings. You know, we have EKGs, we have EEGs. At the end of our life, there's a monitor measuring the frequency in our body. And when the frequency is gone, we're proclaimed dead, but the body is there. So we are energetic beings, but most people don't utilize those frequencies. They just see them on an EKG, or maybe at the end of their life, you know, it becomes relevant to their relatives. But the point is that we can use those. And when you think about something you're creating, you know, a frequency has already happened that the brain is created around. And then you opened up to spirit, and you were given the message of what to do. And I think it's beautiful how your past podcasts, which served a purpose, many purposes, helped so many people. I think I was on one of the original ones.
One of the early participants.
The early ones, yes.
And you were again one of the early participants.
Thank you. And I've listened to so many of them. You've had so many great people on there, and they served so many purposes. But here you are in a new iteration, in a new opportunity, open to servicing again. And I think that's how spirit works, is that when you're open to listening, you're given the direction.
Absolutely. And how has this been for you, being in the pandemic? How has this affected you and what you're doing?
Thank you for asking. I am extremely well. I have been very blessed. When the I'm in conversation with spirit 24/7. There are times I close off all of the surrounding environment and I go into deep state. But regardless of whether I'm in deep state or not, I'm always directed by spirit. It's my experience since my car event. And spirit told me in early March, I was in the middle of a lecture tour and I was going to Dallas. I was just had just come back from Colorado and I was going to Dallas, which got canceled. And spirit came through at the airport while I was coming back from Colorado. And we had just talked about whether Dallas must have been the first week of March. And they said, this will be a major pandemic. They talked about how this was going to go on for at least a year. And they said, but you will be skipped. They said, you have already had your pandemic before this happened. And you've already been taken out of your life. You've already been given no understanding of when you would earn a living. Everything was changed. And they were, of course, referring to 2013, when I had just sold my house after raising my kids as a single mom for 15 years. And I was planning on moving to New York. And 2 days before closing on my house, a car hit my car. And I was left with a traumatic brain injury for 3.5 years. So when you and I first met, I was in the early stages and barely ate. Like doing that interview with you was the only thing I did that day. And the rest of the day, once I got back to my apartment, I believe I was in Chelsea at the time, I just hung out and relaxed, because for 3.5 years actually, I only had 2 hours a day that I could focus. So I lost everything in that. I lost my business. I lost my income. I lost my savings. I lost absolutely everything. It took 7 years to recover. And so this March, I was in my first 4 months of being able to earn a living 6 hours a day. And so Spirit said, you've gone through this already. You've done this. Your job is to show up and serve. And so I have been serving ever since.
And here you are showing up and serving. How wonderful, how wonderful. And what do you still work on? You can work online now, obviously.
Well, yes, Zoom and now, or... yes. My spiritual students are all over the world. They're in different parts of the world. I also do a chakra cleanse twice a month as a service that clears the frequencies that we pick up, and Spirit comes through and channels the whole session and leaves people with affirmations. I'm creating the online telesummit. I'm writing my third book, which is almost complete. It's called Monks Without Monasteries, How Ordinary People Live Extraordinary Lives.
I love the title. Thank you. That's a wonderful title.
Thank you. And it's all about the work. It's all about how we get to use our daily life as our pad for consciousness. And in doing so, in changing every difficulty into a blessing, we're then able to live as monks without monasteries. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I know we're going to do, you're going to do a little demonstration for us on this issue of how to experience loss through joy, which is a key to what you do. But before we do that, because afterwards we may not remember this, what is the best way for people to get in touch with you if they would like to learn more about what we're speaking about here and just to somehow work with you?
Well, thank you. They can go to my website, which is Practical Spirituality with Selena, and Selena is spelled S-E-L-I-N-A, practicalspiritualitywithselena.com.
Good.
You can also go to Facebook and look for the group Practical Spirituality with Selena. So those are two places. And then if they want to come to Clarion Call, they can go to https://practicalspiritualitywithselena.com. And then after that, it's /Clarion, C-L-A-R-I-O-N, hyphen call, C-A-L-L, forward slash.
Okay.
And my slash is mixed up, Tom.
No, it's tough with the slashes. What is Clarion Call?
Clarion Call is an amazing 5-day online telesummit with 12 fascinating and inspirational and informational teachers. My core group of people are heart-centered coaches, they're heart-centered entrepreneurs, they're artists, creative people, they're spiritual teachers and healers. And they're the people that are leading us into the next iteration of the world. Because part of the pandemic is a complete restructuring of the world that we live in. And so these folks, these groups of people, you know, historically artists lead us into the world, the healers and the teachers, the coaches who work helping us to stay in alignment and move forward, the entrepreneurs who create businesses in the new world. So Clarion Call is here to support them. And we have 12 women teachers who are all experts in either the mind, the body, or the spirit coming online. And when people sign up for Clarion Call, which is free, this is a service. When Spirit told me to serve, I answered big time. And when people sign up for Clarion Call, which starts October 5th, you can sign up anytime before then, they will receive every day for 7 days, 2 videos with 2 teachers in their email box a week. So it's Clarion Call week from the 5th to the 11th. And every day during that week, they will receive 2 videos from teachers in their email. And they can download them, they can access them, they can listen to these teachings that are meant to support them through their mind, their body, and their soul.
Well, that is a wonderful gift. Thank you so much.
Well, thank
also,
you.
You could send them all to me and we'll do a podcast with each of them.
Well, I think you would love these women. I should definitely do that.
I'm sure I would.
I'd be happy to send them along, yeah.
We'll spread it even further as we
go. There we go. I think that's fabulous.
Yes. All right. Well, this is all so wonderful. I could speak to you for a couple of hours, but it's come to be known that people don't pay that attention that long. So in order to get the meat of this, I'm going to ask if you would like to give us a little demonstration, as you talked about, in terms of what you wanted to share.
Yes. Well, when we talk about, one of the things we said that we really wanted to talk about was how to experience loss through the energy of joy, because the work of practical spirituality is about taking any piece of difficulty and being able to transform it into the higher frequencies of love. And so we know that difficulty and low frequency, that fear has many faces. It has loss and lack. It has grief. It has anger. It has jealousy, procrastination. We could go on and on. We also know that the high frequency of love looks like understanding and compassion and patience and tolerance, and we could go on and on. And as I shared before, our attention, what we put our energy on, grows. I mean, if I were to pick up a free weight and wanted to work on my biceps, I would use that weight over and over, and over time, my muscle would grow. If the free weight is in my apartment and sits on the floor and I never pick it up, nothing happens. And our consciousness is the same. So when we put our consciousness on a place in our life or on a frequency, that frequency will grow. And when we talk about loss, loss is an expression of fear. It's lack. And lack is always fear. And once again, the conditioning that we mentioned before, we have always been conditioned to experience anything that's left our life, whether it's a person, a job, our health, our money, and the residual experiences from that loss, we have always been trained to experience them one way, and that's through lack. Oh my God, my job is gone, my health is gone, my husband's gone. And it's understandable that people have difficulty with loss when things change because we have been conditioned that way. But what I know is that we have the opportunity to also experience loss through joy. So I just wanted to share that as an
introduction. Thank you. That's wonderful.
And now we'll take everyone through the practice.
Please take us through the process.
That's wonderful. So if you would, and join me here, Tom, let's close our eyes and let's get really comfortable in our seat or lying down. Matters not how your body is. What matters is that you're relaxed and you've got some quiet time ahead. And begin to take a breath in. Long, slow, deep inhale breath. And take a breath in through your nose. And then allow that breath to also come out through your nose. Once again, you're creating here a pattern of long, slow, deep inhale and exhale breaths. We're slowing down the systems. Keep your attention on the rise and fall of your chest. And begin to feel your body relax. Very quickly relaxing, feeling very, very comfortable, feeling very at ease. And as you become comfortable and relaxed, I invite you to engage your imagination. We have all lost people that we love. whether it be in the pandemic, whether it be relatives that were older, maybe it's a partner that has passed on. We have all lost people that we have loved. I'd like you now to see in your mind's eye and feel in your heart the presence of one being who meant so much to you that you have lost. See them standing in front of you. Feel their presence. They are standing in front of you and they are looking directly into your eyes. And you are looking directly into theirs. You feel their love for you, and they feel your love for them. And as you are standing in front of this being, looking into their eyes, feeling their love, knowing that they are feeling yours, begin to visualize different situations that you have had with this person. Take the time as you stare into their eyes, feeling love. Different situations that the two of you shared. Take that time now. Be there fully. Be present. And now, as you continue to stand in front of them, feeling their love, begin to remember all of their fine qualities. Take your time. And as you review each quality, feel it deeply in your heart. Each quality deeply felt in your heart. And now, looking at them deeply in their eyes, with them looking deeply at you and feeling this love coming back and forth between you two. Feel how grateful you are for their presence. How grateful you are that they are in your life, for they are still in your life. They are here. Their energy is alive in you now. Feel the joy. Feel the gratitude. Experience the wonder of the opportunity that you have to be in communion with each other. Feel the goodness, feel the gratitude, and sit inside this gratitude with every atom in your body, fully present to the experience of gratitude for this being. And now, take a deep breath in. Allow this person in your mind's eye to step back as they turn and they walk into the ether. You take a deep, deep breath in through your nose and slowly let the air come out of your body. And then take another deep breath in through your nose. And as it slowly exits your body, come back into your body and into the room.
Oh, thank you so very much. I had a wonderful visit with my grandfather.
Oh, lovely, Tom.
Just delightful. And it reminds me that I can go back.
Anytime. You know, this practice is so important because it's real. Memories are energy. That's what memories are. They're energy. And we can bring them back. And people, when energy leaves a body, I honestly don't know where it goes. I don't think anyone knows where it goes because people, we've got lots of suppositions, lots of ideas, but we know that energy remains and we can bring that energy back. We can recall that energy. We can be with that energy because we are all in the net of the oneness. And I was asked to share this practice when I was in New York, Tom, by Carol Hyatt. Do you know Carol?
I do, yes.
So Carol Hyatt, for those that are listening, is a very well-known author, and she's a transformational agent, and she has worked with people for years. And Carol started an organization called Getting to Next, and this was for high-ranking military admirals, and it was for top CEOs. And the idea was that these were people whose lives had been defined around their work, but they were retiring, and they were women. So she wanted to offer them a seminar. And so she had a seminar in New York called Getting to Next. And she invited me to come to the seminar to do this very practice, to take these high-ranking military women and top CEOs who were not necessarily spiritually oriented and to take them through a practice where they could learn how to reframe, not just their, it's not their thinking, it's their energy around loss and grace around their work. And so I took them through the practice. Instead of visualizing a person, we visualized their work and took them through a practice, the same practice we just went through, so they could start experiencing the work through the gifts they had provided for others, through the gift of the work that they had experienced. And honestly, Tom, I was very happy to be asked. I was a little reticent because I had never done this practice for people who weren't spiritually oriented. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house at the end of this practice. And I had more women coming up and thanking me for this because they now had a way to experience this change in their life that wasn't from grief and wasn't from loss and wasn't from lack. They could now take themselves into this practice and use the experience they were going through to experience the joy of what had been created and the gifts. And what we put our attention on grows. So if we are putting our attention on the lack and what we're missing, we are creating more of that in our life. But when we're able to look at our losses and energetically fuel them with the energy of joy, then that's the frequency that we bring into our life that creates our next moment.
That is wonderful.
And so it's very
as it happens, we're running out of time, but right on the note of joy.
Yes.
Very our guest. And I'm so pleased that you're with us and that you're doing the work that you're doing. And I look forward to reading your new book.
Thank you.
And thank you again for being here. And don't forget to send me all those wonderful people so I can put them on a podcast also. And thank you all of who are listening for listening to this episode of The Heart of Healing.